As I was preparing for this week and preparing for what the Lord would have me share with you this morning, I have lots of different references that I go to, and it was like the Lord just said, "Not put the references away, step back, just pick up your word and go for it." So I was just reading the word, just putting it inside of me, and I came across, you know, you'll have like headings. And I was just kind of before the Lord and just listening to what I was reading. And this title came up. It's like a pre-title before this next part of Scripture. And it said, Profiting from Trials. And I'm going, for real? It's been a long week, Lord. You want me to really get into this profiting from trials thing? I mean, maybe next week, but not this week. And like the Lord just stopped me in my tracks. And then I knew that I knew. It wasn't just something that he had me to look at. It was something that he was putting inside of my heart. Profiting from trials. I like to profit from a lot of things. Trials is not one of them. As you probably, most of you know, I sell real estate for a living. That's how I make a profit. I'm a property manager. And now I'm starting to teach again real estate. Tomorrow is my first day after many years because it's been such a bad market where I'm teaching this next week. 9 hours a day, hour and a half away. It's going to be a long week. And I've been busy this week. And I'm thinking, this is how the Lord, how you bless us, how you help us to profit. And the Lord says, this is not how I just help you to profit. I help you to profit, not just how you make a living in the jobs that you have. You make a profit to your soul, to the very being inside of you, from trials. So I said, okay, Lord, here I am. I mean, there are certain things I really don't like to preach on. One of them is spiritual warfare, because, man, do you get to go through it. You know, another one is patience. Oh, have mercy, I don't like to preach on patience. Well, guess what? Trials is right up there with all those. But the Lord allowed me to go through some stuff this week, and that's how he works it, so that you can kind of get into it and feel what he wants you to go through or to share. So my first opportunity was really, truly, a lot of times when I'm going through things, I'm not always the best at being what he wants me to be. But he says, Sandy, when you're going through trials, it isn't just so you're going through a trial, but you can profit from going through trials. I'm not going to say, yay, I'm in a trial. I'm not a masochist. I don't like to hurt myself. In fact, I am a weenie when it comes to pain. I don't mind dying. Just let me walk into the next room and I'm there. Don't make it a long struggle. That's not how it usually works. I don't like to go through trials. I don't like pain. But the Lord says there are times when we go through these things. If you will, you will profit through trials. I've listened to many prayer requests sitting here in church, and I know that there are many of us going through trials, going through things. Some of us raise our hands when it's like, do you have one you don't want to say out loud? And usually everybody will say. I have many friends that are going through trials, and he began to bring some of these people to my mind to help me to recognize the profit that they're getting. One of my buddies this week just had a mastectomy. This is her second one. We have been praying and praying for her. And I watched her through this time. And, of course, Facebook, I love it and that and texting, because I get a chance to keep track of my friends and my family, those that I love and those that I'm meeting through and praying for, individuals. And watching her go through this time, as she went in, I mean, she had people literally around the world in different countries, different states praying for her. And her daughter kept us up to speed. She's in here now. Now she's going through this and kept us up. And when she came out and they dressed her up, and she's a person that when she goes, when you're blonde and light, you don't like to go out without something. It's like an old barn, you got to put something on it. She came out of there and she just had her lipstick on and she looked cute, and she sat up, and the doctors were like, oh my goodness, you not only do you look good, but you are good. I'm amazed. And within a couple of hours, she was sitting up and chatting with her family. I mean, she just went through a major four-hour surgery. But here is a trial. And not only was she a witness through this, but she was able to share, this is how come I was able to go through this, because look at what God did for me. God helped me. So through this trial, not only did she profit because she came through it strong, but she was a witness to others, and others profited from her trial. Another one of my buddies in the same situation is going through her last 6 weeks of radiation. 5 days a week, losing her gorgeous hair, and then her surgery comes. I call her once in a while, and I am not kidding you, she builds me up. She is going through things that are hard, and I know painful, and I know a struggle. But she is profiting through this because she's not taking this trial and making it a woe is me, or oh my gosh, look what I have to go through again, or making it all about her. She is taking this time, and she is literally growing and helping others to grow through it. It's like a plant that is literally being watered, and it's blossoming. And what you don't know is the struggles, that deep struggles that she's going through. Another one of my buddies, she lost her son. He passed away. And hers was a different kind of struggle. Here was one going through trials who was having a more difficult time. And then those that had gone through trials came alongside and held her hands up in prayer. There are times when we're going through trials and we aren't this big, strong person we would like to be. I'd like to say every trial I've ever been to, I've been able to say, you know what, I came through it the best. But there have been times when I've gone through trials where I've had to call friends and say, hey, this is just not my day. And today I'm having struggle. And I need your help. I need for you to pray for me. That is better than saying you want to hit the next person that walks through the door. Lord is saying, I was profiting from that because I was learning how to, even though it was a struggle, I was learning how to profit because I'm not getting frustrated with everybody and everything. I'm learning how to go through the struggle, through the trial. That was even a profit in itself. I learned something, and that's what my buddy did. And it's taken her about a year, a little bit more now. But I'm seeing growth in her. But it's been a lot of us coming alongside of her and holding her hands up in prayer. And now she's getting to be like, I can do this now. It's been a time. But she instead of getting back and literally losing her mind, she just fell back and said, I need your help. I was reading in James. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, you want to turn to it, James chapter 1 and verse 2. And it says, my brethren and sisters, count it all joy. And it's like, what? Really? Yes, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be able to ask of God, who gives all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let him ask in faith, not with doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave in the sea driven, tossed by the wind. Let not the man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord if he's a double-minded man and unstable in his ways. What he's saying is here, count it all joy. It's really hard, and I'm not going to lie. I've gone through some things in my life, and it's been hard to count joy. It was hard to count it all joy. But as I grew, I learned to say, okay, he's not saying be happy. Yeah, be happy in everything. But he's saying there's joy that you can have from me, and there is strength in joy. He's saying, count it all joy. Your strength is in your joy. So count it all strength, if you want to call it that way. Count it all joy, or count it for strength when you fall into various trials. Because when you're in these various trials, I'm going to do something. I'm planting something inside of you. I'm going to test it, and it's faith. And as he's testing that faith, he's producing something inside of us, patience. Randy, bless his heart, is trying to help Eric grow some trees because he's living on this acreage and there are no trees. So he ordered 100 buckets that just came. 100 buckets. He says, "You're going to help me, right?" I'm going, I told him, I says, "Hey, I'm gone 12 hours this week, a day. Have fun." So he's got to fill up 1,200 buckets full of dirt, and then he went out and took cuttings from trees that will grow anywhere, and they'll need to grow anywhere where they're at. And he's going to be planting this week. Not easy, but he had to prune a tree to get the stuff to grow more trees. There are times when the Lord comes alongside of us, and he says, "Okay, Sandy, you don't need this." Ow, that hurt. Yeah, but you really didn't need that. That was something, we call that a sucker, Sandy, and that's drawing strength out of you. Okay, here's another thing. Oh, pain. You didn't need that either, but you know what? I can take that, Sandy, and I can plant that elsewhere, and what was a sucker to you is somebody's new life, something that was pulling away from you. And there are things in our lives sometimes that we have to let go and let God. Let go and let God. There are testings in our life, literally, that if we will allow him, it will produce fruit. It will produce strength. It will produce joy. It will produce patience. It will produce wisdom. He says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God, and he'll give it all liberally without reproach. I like that. If you really stop, remember how, Pastor, we did this Bible study once where you take a word and you just tear the word apart? Man, when you do that with this verse right here, let him ask, okay, in faith and without reproach is what he'll do. Meaning that, have you ever had anybody say, "Hey, Sandy, come on over. If you need any help, I'll help you." Okay, I have a problem with this new little device I brought. Can you help me learn? Okay, great. Well, knowing me, I'll be back in a few days. Okay, how do you do that again? Okay, a few days later, I'm knocking on your door. You know, most people would go, "Really? I mean, your blonde is showing. I've showed you this 3 times. But that's not our God. The Lord says, if you're having problems, you can come to me and I will give you liberally, meaning you can come and you can come and you can come, and you don't have to worry about me going, "Really? I mean, how many times do I have to tell you this? Aren't you going to get it?" There are times when I have gone through things and it's like, "Lord, here I am again. It's the same thing. Here I am again." And Lord said, "It's okay. I am your Heavenly Father. I'm your Abba Father. I'm the one that you can crawl up in his lap and literally just allow him to hug you, and you can ask and you can ask and you can ask. He will liberally give and not make you feel like the big dummy. Here she is again. Mercy." And then there is the double-mindedness. Don't ask in doubt, or don't ask and take it back. How many times have you brought something to the Lord and said, "Lord, help me with this. Help me, help me." And the Lord says, "Okay, I'm ready to help you." And he gets ready to help, and you grab it out of his hands. It's like, that's being double-minded. You ask me for help, let me help you. You ask me to do this, let me do it. Or, "I don't think you can, so let me help you, Lord. I'm really good at this. I've done it so many times." I know you have. That's why you keep asking for help. You haven't got it right yet. Let me help you. And he will. In this chapter, there are certain words that just pop in my head. And the first one was count it all joy, or rejoice. Rejoice. Another one is knowing that the test of your faith. And that know means recognize, hear it, see it, feel it, eat it. Recognize the results of our faith when it's tested by the trials. Another one in 1:4 is patience, or another word for that is endure. You see endure all through the Bible. He wants us to give him enough time in that trial to build up the Christ likeness that he is trying to build in us. Don't just get in the trial and then run off and do your thing. Allow him to change in you during that trial. When I get into a trial, if I'm wise, I will say, "Okay, Lord, here I am. What do you want to grow inside of me?" Instead of saying, "Oh gosh, here we go again." It's like, okay, stop the presses. I need to listen. I'm going through this. There's got to be a reason for it. What's the end result? What's the fruit you want to grow inside of me without getting all frustrated or whatever? And a lot of times I'll like take notes. Okay, I went through this today. You know, you guys probably watch me. I take lots of notes. And I do that so I can really grasp what's being said, and then I can go back and chew it some more. Otherwise, I sit there and my mind is way off. I've got 10,000 things to do, and I'll be sitting there doing them in church. But if I make notes, it helps me to get and stay where I need to be. So I'm going through stuff sometimes, and I'm talking to the Lord, take notes. It's like, Lord, here's where I'm at, and this is what's happening. What about this? What about what I'm going through? What have I learned today? Where do you want me to go with this? Another one is ask. Ask God for wisdom. When the trial is going on and you don't know what to do, remember to ask. Don't try and do it all by yourself. Ask. Now, I'm going to apologize to Haas right now because Eric is not here. And when Eric is here, bless his heart, or Randy, I just use them as, you know, because I watch their lives. And they're good. I mean, I can pull things from their lives, and it helps me to grow. I don't have Eric here. And so I've been watching Haas on Facebook. Yeah. Haas has been working out with Mike. Mike's pretty tough. He's a personal trainer. And I've been watching Haas build himself up. It's not easy to work all day and then go out and try and lift weights or try and do what you're supposed to do and try and work out. He's got a family. He's got kids. He's got a job. He takes care of his house. He's got other stuff he does. Take a look around you. Even what he eats, he cares about. What goes inside of him, he cares about. But I am absolutely positive that Haas, when he started all of this with the help of Mike, did not start lifting 200-pound things the first day or running 5 miles the first day or trying to change his diet so drastically that it probably could make him sick. But he went about it in a way of wisdom. Okay, Lord, here I am. You know, okay, Mike, help me out here. He did it. He went about it in a way of wisdom. He began to build himself up wisely. He listened to what Mike had to say. He was testing himself sometimes to the limit, but he knew where the limit was, and he never went beyond the limit. And now he's growing stronger every day. It's amazing. I'm watching him. But our trials are like working out, but in the spirit. Trials are like working out, but in the spirit. If we're patient, we will grow. If we'll listen to the Lord, who is our leader, and not try and get above and beyond and ahead of him, when we come through that trial, we'll be a little more buff the next time. As I read on through James, I came across another heading, and the heading was Loving God Under Trials. And it was like, I would like for this chapter have gone a different way, but it was like he was taking me through this process. Okay, God, loving God under trials. So I began to read it from verse 12, still in chapter 1, but verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures. Blessed is the man who endures or has patience in temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. Now, I don't read through that quickly. I want all the crowns that my Lord has for me. Not because they're pretty, but because they mean something. When I get to heaven, I want him to say, here's a crown of this and here's a crown of that. And I'll be waiting just to see if there's any more that I didn't know about. Because I want my Lord to be proud of me. I want to have earned in him. I'm not earning my salvation, but I want to be the person that he wants me to be. It's like, Sandy, well done. Here is your crown. So he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised. He's promised to those that he loves. Let no one, when he is tempted, again, trials don't just come just because somebody wants to hit you or whatever. Sometimes they come in temptations. I have buddies that have gone through temptation and have not won. They didn't win in their temptations. And they have fallen and stumbled. And, you know, we don't run from them. We pick them back up and carry them. Said, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. It wasn't God's fault, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt him, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has been conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Not physical death, unless you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, but spiritual death, which is worse. Because you can die in the flesh, but you're still alive, folks. Do not be deceived, my brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He doesn't change. And of his own he will be brought forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creature. I want to be a part of his first fruits. When I am tempted, I don't want to allow that temptation to grow inside of me and allow things to build up and toward the Lord saying, what, really? I mean, there's things that can get into your mind that you can allow to grow, seeds that can be planted. It doesn't have to be done. The Lord says, if you've done it in your heart, you've done it. And the Lord says, I want to keep you from that. You're going to be tempted. You're going to have trials. There's going to be things that come against you. You're going to have to endure certain temptations. But endure means to stand fast. Don't go there. Don't allow the things that are pulling you. And I'll tell you what, my gosh, I don't like to think I'm old, but I've been around a while. And the things that are tempting our young people today and old are 1,000 times more than I had when I was a kid. My goodness, we go out and play and whatever. Now the kids are on computers. They can get into areas and see things and hear things on television that we never even said out loud. You didn't even say the word, and now it's a part of the vocabulary. I think of my grandkids, and it's like, oh, God have mercy on my kids, on my grandkids. There are so many temptations that are out there, and it's like, it's no big deal. Well, hey, it is a big deal to God. Sin is sin. Evil is evil. Temptation is temptation. Don't go there. But crown of life, that's exactly what we're striving for. We're here for one thing. We're here, I call it boot camp. I am here on this earth right now, and I'm in a boot camp. There's a reason I'm here. And I look at the big picture, and the big picture says, I'm headed to heaven. Sometimes I get so caught up in the stuff that I'm doing every single day that I forget there's a reward. I'm working hard here, and there's a reward. When I was young, that reward seemed like it'll never happen to me. I'll never die. You don't think about it. It'll never happen to me. I was when I'm old. Old comes quick. It comes a lot faster than you think. And the more busy you get, I mean, it's like, what happened in 2014? I mean, we're going through 2015 like water through a sieve. It's like we're almost into April. What happened to March? Holy cow. And it even talks in the scriptures about things going faster and faster. Look at the big picture. Why are we here? And let's look at James 5, 7 through 11. James 5. We're still in the book of James. It's chapter 5. Verse 11, it says, therefore be patient. Again, endure. Let's be patient, or let's endure, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently, enduring for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. And we're definitely in its latter rain time. So also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And I will tell you, we had prophecy conferences, and I have never seen more of that come into fruition than I have seen in the last probably 5 years. I mean, they're already chipping people. It's just stuff that is happening that it's like, if you go through the Bible and you look at what's in the Bible and you look at where we are today, it's not long, folks. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door, even now, folks. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. And we think of Job, which I'm going to be speaking about, but James, you know, what they went through, all of the disciples, the different ones, the different prophets in the Old Testament, what they went through. Joseph, one of my favorites. Mary, Jesus's mom, 14-year-old girl, the trials that she went through. There are examples of suffering and patience and fruit from these people. And they're saying, take a look, because indeed we count them who have went through all this, who blessed, who endure. But you know what? We are also blessed because we endure every day. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, meaning that Job had a lot taken from him, but there was an end, and the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. The word endure just keeps coming to my heart, or patient. Endure. We have to recognize that as the days go on and the things happen in our lives and we see the things happening more and more, we need to be able to endure, to go through the trials, to go through the things that we're going through, but we need to go through them with an ability that is beyond our capability. It may sound weird. An ability beyond our capability, meaning that we're going to have to ask for supernatural abilities to go through some of the things that are coming our way in the future. We just do. We have to be able to go through the trials, not in frustration, but in peace, in joy. That's a hard one, but joy is our strength. Trusting totally in Him. When the word endurance comes to mind, I think of Paul. Oh my goodness, Paul, what he went through. Shipwrecked, stoned, bit by a snake, put down, put in prison. And it isn't the prisons we have today, trust me. I watched this special last night about, it happened in Modesto, right where I came from, where this dingbat, this person, kills his wife and his son. And it was horrible, and it just messed up our town for quite a while because you couldn't even drive through it. There were more CNN and Fox and ABC and NBC people around. You knock them over with a stick. But what that family endured, I wish you could have met the mom of the young lady who passed. I watched her go through the most tremendous hell on earth, and she came out a rose on the other side. She's also a realtor, I kind of knew her a little bit better. She came out like a rose. She came out strong. But that woman went through trials. She went through hell. She went through, we don't even need to go through all of it. But here's Paul. You know, Paul's in the Bible and we think, okay, Paul did this and did this and did this. But I bet you could come up with your own person that you can say, you know what, they went through this and it was awful. It was horrible. But look at the fruit that they're producing. That's what the Lord wants to be able to say of us. Sandy, you went through, or... You know, I'm not going to start pulling out names, but you went through, and look at what God has done. Okay, I am going to. This couple right here, I mean, it almost brings me to tears when I see how the Lord has brought you through your son. And you have grown. You have matured. There is fruit coming off of you. And it's wonderful to see what God has begun to do through that trial. I can't even imagine. I got one kid. And if my one son would have gone through even a portion of what yours had to go through. But you are lights to your community. You come in and you worship God. You come in and you praise Him. You come in and tell the good things that are happening. You come in and share the fruit of the trial that you are all going through. That is an example to our community, to our body. Amen. Amen. You are learning to endure. You are growing fast. You are maturing greatly. And the fruit that's going to come from this is going to help many, many people. He is pruning you, yeah. He's taken things here and there. But what He prunes from you is growing, and others are going to literally be built up from it, truly. Thank you. I wasn't going to do that, but I couldn't help it. In 2 Timothy 2, 7 through 13, 2 Timothy 2, 7 through 13, it says, "Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God, literally, is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." This is a time of season. There are seasons. This season is a season of resurrection. Resurrection Sunday is coming. I think of Christ, who went through the greatest trial of all, the cross. The cross was the greatest trial of all. And because of his trial, because of his sacrifice, we have eternal life. His trial created eternal life. His trial, the sufferings that he went through, the fruit that came from his trial has saved a world if we choose. If we choose to go to him, his trial made all the difference in the world to us. Thank you, Jesus, that you went through that trial for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you went through that trial and came out smelling like a rose. I mean, he did. He came out loving. He came out forgiving. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know, he came out. Remember my mom. Take care of my mom. He came out literally just trying to help others through his trial. That's what he wants of us. He wants us to be able to go through these things and not bring it into here, but to send it back out. What can I do to help you in my suffering? Because I want fruit to come out of this. I am not going to allow that thing to destroy me. Paul wrote a lot of the New Testament through the inspired part of the Holy Spirit inside of him. And he loved a man by the name of Timothy. He helped raise him. He was a mentor to Timothy. He helped raise him in the Spirit. Paul's last will and testament, I call it 2 Timothy, because it was his last writing pretty much to Timothy. And he's speaking to Timothy like he's basically his son. And he's giving him some last words. So 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 8. And he says, "Hey, Timothy, I charge you. I come to you. I shake you. Timothy, you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, Christ, at his appearing when he comes back and his kingdom." He's saying, "Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word, Timothy. Timothy, be ready in season and out. Timothy, you're going to go through, excuse the expression, hell. We all will. I'm going to go through it. You're going to go through it. You're going to go," he says, "but be ready in season and out of season. Convince those that don't know me. Rebuke those that need to be rebuked. Exhort those that need to be exhorted with all long suffering and teaching." You're going to be suffering. Hey, I mean, it is what it is. But if, when you do, make it right. Teach. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, will they heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables." My gosh, if we aren't living in those days, I mean, they're listening to anything and everything, and everything's okay. It says in the last days, sin will be sin no more. Really? Turn on the TV. "But you be watchful in all things." Timothy, keep your eyes open. "Endure affliction, Timothy, because it's coming. do the work of the evangelist. Don't just sit on whatever and just let it happen. Timothy, get out there and make a difference. And I'm saying that as he's saying it to Timothy, but he's saying it to us. Sandy, make a difference. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. He's dying. I have fought the good fight, and he did. I have finished the race. He's about done. I have kept the faith. My gosh, I hope that I can say that in my last days. I hope I can turn and say to my family, you know what? I did it. But now it's your turn. You guys are my family. We're all family, and we can say it to one another. Finally, there is laid up for me, yay, another crown. I like to collect crowns. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Yay. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me and to you on that day. So, and not to me only, but to also all of those who has loved his appearing. That's me. I am looking to his appearing. And I want the Lord to be able to say to me, if I could take this out and today and tomorrow and the next day and put my name in there, not Timothy, Sandy. And Jesus saying to me, Sandy, I'm charging you before my Father. I'm charging you to make a difference. I'm charging you to go out there. And evangelize just means to talk to your friends and neighbors. It isn't like you go put a suit on and pick up your Bible and you go knock on a door and you say, I'm here to talk to you. Or you go to the store and say, I'm here, I'm going to evangelize you today. No, evangelism is living it out. You guys evangelize every day. Every day that we go out and live in our trials and the things that we're going through, we are evangelists, folks. Don't even think you're not, because our lives are speakers. This is what Sandy is. This is what Sandy does. This is what Sandy says. This is what Sandy goes and does. We're evangelizing, and it better be good things that we're out there evangelizing, because the world is looking at us. The world is looking at us. We are a walking Bible. Not everything is sin to us, but if it is to those that are around us, you better not be doing it and making a little one stumble. There are certain things I can do that maybe that you probably go, I don't think that's right. Well, it's not a sin to me. You know, I don't even want to go all there. But there are things the Lord says, it's okay for you because you're strong enough and it's not going to knock you down. But I would never do that in front of another young person that might think that taking that little thing in that cup might drive them crazy. Don't even go there if it's going to be an issue to the people. And the Lord says, you are an evangelist in not only what you're doing and how you're living. Make a difference. Make a difference. We're coming into the most amazing season of all, and it's resurrection season. And it's all come down to this. His trials all led to our salvation. His trials all came down to where we are today. I asked the question at the beginning, is there a profit from trials? Well, Jesus had a trial, and he came through it. Is there a profit from trials? Yeah, salvation. Whoa, that's a big profit from trials. Salvation came from Jesus' trial. There is a profit in trials. Another question I ask is, can we love God through our trials? Can we love under the trials? Can we love God? Did Jesus? Yeah. He loved his Father through it all. Did he have questions? Well, who wouldn't? You know, I was like, wow, can you just take this away? But it's okay. If I have to, I will. But do you think just maybe you can make this a little easier? And the Lord said, no. All right. Then I'm here. And I will do what I have to do. Jesus is a mirror image for us. What he went through, basically in a smaller way, unless you're a Christian overseas who are being hanged and beheaded and their children raped and destroyed and the women the same way. I mean, we get so caught up in our own little bubble, in our own little valley, that we don't recognize a lot of the stuff. We're going, oh my gosh, look what happened in the Old Testament. Excuse me, I can show you that persecution is happening around the world today, and there are things that are happening literally you don't even want to hear about and you hope never come to our shores, but they are in other people's shores, and they are persevering. I was watching something on Facebook the other day. One of my buddies, Pam, who's coming to Idaho, by the way, to do some ministry for us this summer. And Pam posted this, and she's a pastor's wife. And it was a meeting in Egypt. And the meeting was wonderful. And there was if they turned the building this way and put the pulpit up here and went this way, it would be about the size of this building, but the pulpit would be up here and then the people were out. And it was full of people. And he was praising the Lord and worshiping and singing some of the most beautiful songs. And then he began to speak, and they had to interpret because they are in Egypt and they're speaking Egyptian or whatever they speak. And as he began to speak to the people in the audience, and there were mothers in that audience who had lost their son to a beheading, because like 20 some of them had been lined up. I don't know if you were paying attention to the news, but they were all beheaded. And there were moms in that congregation. And he said, and you lost your son. And the camera goes to her, and you can see her. And my heart was just like, oh my gosh, this is the real deal. This could be here. And then to another one. And they let her, one of them, speak. And she said, I forgive them. I'm going, whoa. She says, I forgive them for what they did to my son. And I pray that they will turn from their evil ways and become a Christian like us. And I thought, God, here is a person who has gone through a trial, who has lost her loved one, who is hurting beyond words of the cruelty and the nature of what had happened. And yet she is not turning that inward. She's looking outward and going, this is a trial I've gone through, but hey, I pray for that person. Can you imagine the reward for this young lady, this mom, who just lost her 20-year-old son because he refused to not say, I love Jesus, is his last words. His last words were praising God before he was beheaded. Trials. We don't have to go through such heavy, heavy trials here, and I pray we never have to go through that here. But you know what? When we have trials, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, I have to go do this, and I have to go do that, and it's a trial. Excuse me? Some of the trials that we call trials are just insignificant little issues in our life. There are trials, but we have to be able to look at ourselves and take inventory of ourselves and say, okay, God, what am I complaining about? What do I think is really a harsh thing in my life? Where am I at? And allow the Lord to speak to your heart and say, okay, I want you to change this attitude. Let's chop this off here. Let's prune this off here. Let's take that attitude and make it better here. Yeah, you have an issue with this family member. I want you to do this and change your attitude here. And allow him to come in and say, you know, some of your trials aren't really necessarily heavy duty. But let's make it so that the trials that you're feeling make a difference and change. And now, guess what? You are going to start smelling like a rose instead of looking like a thorn in everybody else's side. And then there are those who really are going through some hard things. And the Lord says, and I will hold your hands up. When you're going through these really heavy-duty things where it's so hard you hardly can breathe, I've had some of my friends literally, it's hard for them to take a next breath. It's so heavy on their heart. And that's when the Lord comes along and holds up your hands. Trials. Jesus went through it. He did. And because of his sacrifice, I have an opportunity, you have an opportunity to have a crown of life and a crown of righteousness because he loves us that much. The Father is so good to us and so faithful that he sent his son, his only son. I can identify, got one. I'd have a hard time giving him up for somebody else because I love him so much. But the Lord saw beyond this little bit right here and saw the universe. And he allowed his son to go through the trial of all trials to make a difference in our hearts and our lives and to make a difference in us. And now what he expects of us is just what Timothy was being exhorted to do, to be able to go out and preach the word, to be ready in season and out of season, to be able to go and make a difference in hearts and lives, to be watchful. And when afflictions happen, go to the Lord and allow the trials to be light and not so heavy. And when they're heavy, to know what to do, who to call for help, how to hit your knees, how to listen, how to change, how to allow the Lord to prune us, how to make a difference in hearts and lives and in our community. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. Lord, this was a harder day, but Lord, there are times when we need to hear things in our own lives and to be able to be pruned, to be able to hear your voice, to be able to make a difference, Father God, not just in our own lives, but for those that are around us. Father, we are walking Bibles. We are walking evangelists. We're a walking mirror of your Son, Father, Jesus Christ. And we want to make a difference in our community, Lord. We truly do. So, Lord, this week, as we're pushing towards this wonderful next Sunday, Father, an outstanding Sunday of when your Son came in triumphantly and made such a difference in the hearts and lives of the whole community that he was in. Father, as we're going into this next season and we're looking forward, Father, I pray that you will come in and literally speak to our hearts and allow us to see what you see in us. Allow us to recognize that when we're going through trials and hardships, Lord, that you are there and that you want us not just to persevere, but you want us to excel, that you want us to make a difference. Father, thank you so much. And Father, I pray for the Christians around the world this morning, Father, who are literally going through trials. I mean, the real deal trials, Father God, for their faith. And Father, we don't want to forget them. We never want to forget them, Lord. We want to hold them up in prayer because, Lord, our prayers make a difference. So I pray, Father, that you will be with them today and help them to make a difference in their communities too, Father. Thank you so much. We praise you. We worship you. We truly do, Lord. In Jesus, your Son's name, amen.